thing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to My Wife, She Loves That Reprise Cast, a podcast where we're just tying up all the loose ends. I'm Ashley, and I'm joined, as always, by your friend and mine, Molly.
Hey, hi, it's me, Molly. Got Luke with us.
Hello.
Hello. Yep. I got nothing, man. I don't know. Luke, what'd you do this week?
Gosh, not a lot. I mentioned last time I was going to do a lot of overtime, so I've pretty much just chilled the fuck out this weekend. Just hung out with friend of the show and fiance and me, Chelsea, not doing a whole lot. We watched RoboCop.
Good movie.
Pretty good movie.
I enjoy that
I feel like I would almost like just an hour and a half of the fake news show within RoboCop.
Oh, sure.
Of, like, the reporters being way too, like, smiley about, you know, and the orbital laser killed dozens today.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the...
Is that not what Cosmic Call was?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, but then we got weirder with it, too.
Yeah, and then we got lazy and stopped.
Yeah. It was really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a couple years later, I was like, what if I made it even harder, but I can charge money for it? And that's how we got Eidolon.
Here we are.
Well, I mean, like,
I was going to say, I feel like one of you was about to say something.
Nope.
Okay. What else have I done? Still been chipping slash cranking away at Persona.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about Persona because you were posting about it today.
Yeah, I am like right at the end of it. I think I'm like about to hit the final month of it, which I'm very cheesed off about because I sure thought I had done everything right to get all the social links maxed out, and I'm gonna come up like, unless I'm just real lucky with how this last month goes, I'm going to be like one guy shy of it. I'm like, come on.
Yeah, I think on my last Persona 5 Royal run, I was like 2 days short of maxing everyone or something.
Yeah. Like, I've done the math, and I think technically I've got 31 days left in the game, and I need 27 days to get everybody maxed out, so it's hypothetically possible.
Depends on how many of those days get eaten.
Depends on how many days that get eaten and how available people are.
Right.
And I am skeptical that that is gonna work out.
Well, I hope the stars align for you.
I would love it if they did. I don't know why I am always very, like, well, I know why I am like this, but I am very anti, like, checking a full completion guide with these games.
Oh,
like,
sure.
The whole point is you're making choices and trying to plan your time and all that. Like, I'm not just gonna, like, do what the guide says to do each day. But then I also get really annoyed when I fail to 100% at the
end. Right, I was gonna say, but clearly that's what you want, though.
Right, what I want is to be able to just intuit the perfect run without having to be told what to do. Yeah.
You want to figure out the perfect run, but you, like, want to do it the first time. You don't want
to... Exactly. I want to just see the code of the Matrix and just weave through the bullets.
Yeah, that seems really hard.
Yeah. I think the main thing I need to learn, and I could do it if I got this in my head, is that as soon as I see, like, ooh, you need a high level of courage or whatever to do this, I'm like, well, time to do nothing but grind courage until I do that. And I could be spending that time doing other stuff and pick up free courage points throughout the story later on, and it's not a big deal if I don't do that for a couple months.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, this is in front of me now. I need to do this now.
Yeah.
And that's,
I know,
that's
the feeling.
That's where I run into trouble.
That's, you know, that'll kill you.
Yeah. I, neither of you have played Persona 3, right?
Nope.
So the whole thing in that game is it's very, like, about, like, death. That's the whole, like, you know, theming of it. You know, you have to shoot yourself in the head with a gun to summon your persona.
Yeah.
An evoker, please.
Yeah, you're evoker, right. There's no real bullets in it. But it doesn't work unless you, like, convince yourself that there are bullets in it and you pull the trigger anyway.
Right. Yes.
You have to confront your own mortality to really unleash the full power of your soul. Is the whole idea.
I definitely remember like reading like Game Informer like or EGM like previews and reviews where they're like, this could turn into like a big like you know scandal if like you know Americans like find out about this.
Sure. I mean, you do watch teenagers point guns at themselves and shoot over and over and over again while you play that game. Yeah. It's a little weird. But you know, to kind of, like, go with that, the, like, getting into the ending of it, I guess spoilers for Persona 3, it's like a 15-year-old game, more, whatever.
We'll just mark it, it's fine. Well,
sure, yeah. The, like, final boss, you know, skipping some details, the final boss becomes a mysterious transfer student at your school. It's very clearly, like, a Kaoru from Evangelion, like, type thing.
Sure.
He's like, hey, and then you know, she's like, hey guys, so I am like the harbinger of the god of death, and like in a couple months, the whole world's gonna end, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And here's what bums me out about that is I like you guys. I think you're cool, and you're my buds. So what I can offer you is I'll just erase your memory so that you don't have to like know that you're gonna die very soon, and you can at least be happy for a couple of months. Anyway, I'll be back in a month. Let me know what you want. Bye. And that entire last month is just, like, little cutscenes of all your party members being like, oh, what do we do? This is an unwinnable fight. Do we give in to despair? No, we have to keep fighting even though it's impossible. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just gradually every member of your party, like, on a different day being like, I've made up my mind. I want to fight even though we can't win. And then you get the decision and you can if you want to be like, no, we're not fighting. It's okay.
God.
I just get a bad ending.
Great.
Yeah.
Persona's so dumb sometimes.
It can be really dumb sometimes. Although I do really like the Velvet Room in this one is an elevator because the main dungeon is a big tower that you're going up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So the Velvet Room is sort of like styled like it is the elevator to this tower, and it's just moving up every time you go in there. And when you fight the final boss, you, like, get through the first phase, and then it just does, like, a one-hit kill on you, and you die, but you wake up in the Velvet Room, and you get, like, you know, the classic Persona, like, all my friends, you know, their hearts are beating as one, and we can make this happen. You know, and you get, like, the montage of all your social links, like, rooting for you or whatever. And then the people in the Velvet Room are just like, oh, we finally reached your floor. And, like, for the first time, the elevator in there stops and it opens up to the second phase of the boss fight.
Damn, nice.
And that's just cool.
That is just cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
Persona's dumb sometimes, but so is good sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I think that's all that's going on with me.
All right, Ashley, what you been doing?
I downloaded on the Game Pass Dead Island 2.
You did.
I did. I always think about Dead Island 1, which I played and, like, I was, like, interested by, even though I don't think it was good, although most of my memories of it have been replaced with Dying Light.
Oh, sure.
Where it's like, oh yeah, like, it's a game, like, it takes place at a you know, like, resort town, like, oh, I think, like, the, like, World Cup was also happening, so it's, like, in Brazil, and, like, oh, wait, no.
Yeah.
And so, but eventually, like, you know, I just also like to think of it as, like, yeah, it had that, like, weird melee, like, you could switch to the melee mode that was, like, was trying to be, like, you know, like, oh, like, the way that you, like, move the stick is the way that you swing it.
Oh, right. Okay.
And, like,
Twilight
had
Princess.
Twilight Princess style. Like, trying to do motion controls without motion controls.
Right, like the sword in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you know, of course, like, the famous, like, trailer that had nothing to do with the tone of the game.
Right.
And then the infamous statue, which kind of had something to do with the tone of the game.
Right. Yeah, so I feel like nobody... I've never really seen anyone talk about Dead Island as a game that they like, and yet it seems to keep sticking around.
My younger sister.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I remember, like, playing it and, like, going, this isn't good, but, like, it's interesting.
Sure.
And then, like, yeah, like, they announced, like, the second one, and then it, like, just never happened for, like, years.
Right.
And it was like, this is done. Like, this isn't gonna happen. And then it happened.
How is it?
It's fine. I'm having fun with it. It's sure. Extremely, like, kind of simple.
Yeah.
Like, you know, melee focus game. They brought back the rapper from the first game, and I was excited to see him.
All right.
Because I liked his dumb gimmick where he is a one-hit wonder and had been hired by this resort to do, like, concerts. So it's just him doing his one song over and over, and he's like, man, I fucking hate this.
Sure.
Yeah, that is a really Ashley setup. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, and he's... and, like, in this game, which takes place in L.A., so not really an island.
Yeah, no, not at all.
He, like, shows up, and he's like, oh, I've dealt with all the zombie shit before, and that means I don't want to deal with all the zombie shit again. I'm going to stay here. I think a lot of the concepts for their survivors that you could choose in this one are pretty funny. I chose a rocker chick who, because she moshes, she gets like certain abilities.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
One of the main characters that you can get play as is a stripper who has a firefighter gimmick.
Okay.
And he used his firefighter costume to get on a plane out of the city by saying, like, oh, I'm important. I'm a firefighter.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then the plane crashes at the beginning of the story.
Right, of course.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's fine. I fucked up Influencer's house, so that's good.
Yeah.
Then I watched the Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to you a bit about it. I liked it. I liked it less than Into the Spider-Verse.
Uh-huh.
It feels like just way less focused.
Like, sure, that's true.
Like, as, like, all over the place the original Into the Spider-Verse could be.
Yeah, no, they definitely blew it out a lot for the sequel.
Yes. Basically, like, the more spider people on screen, like, the less I like the movie.
I think I like that movie better than Into, except that they haven't finished it yet.
And, like, okay, yeah, that, I think that also, one, I was coming to it, like, after all of the stuff about, like, the making of that movie came out.
Right, right.
Where, like, it's just hard not to think about that.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's, like, harder for maybe, like, Hobie to, like, you know, Spider-Punk to hit for me now that, like, after the guy, like, went on a weird rant about communists.
Uh-huh.
Because Criterion was, like, featuring a communist movie.
Okay.
And so, like, all that was happening, like, I feel like, oh, this is a kind of, like, you know, it's very jokey, and, like, we just had, like, you know, the one supervillain, and then now we're having another villain come in, and, like, we're doing work to try to kind of make both of them sympathetic, and it's kind of, like, I feel like it's, like, clashing into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, overall, like, still, like, the... When I say I'm enjoying it less, it's like,
yeah,
a 4-star rather than a 5-star.
I think that movie works for me because it is so, like, the thing I like about that movie is how the, like, Spider-Verse is big enough that it will allow for, you know, the Spider-Man that is a stupid car. But, oh, this Miles Morales kid, I just don't know about him. For some reason, we don't like that one. We need to get rid of that one. And we're not going to really examine why he's the one we're, you know, so obsessed with.
I mean, they give their explanation.
No, but that's, you know what I mean, though, right?
Yeah, but... Yeah. I get what you're coming from, but also the fact that, like, the main Spider-Woman in this is a black woman.
Sure, totally.
Kind of undercuts, like, that read of it.
But I think it still helps it a little bit that, like, Miles is, even, like, in, like, the original comics, he's, like, originally posed as a replacement for Peter Parker and not just a wacky alternate Peter Parker, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, a different member of, like, a bigger Spider-Man world. It's like, no, Peter's dead and Miles Morales is, like, taking it over now, and that's when suddenly it's not okay anymore.
And, yeah, I think they're doing a lot of interesting stuff with that. There's, like, a... You know, there's fun cameos and stuff like that, but yeah, totally. The ending of that movie is...
Yeah.
Like, I knew and I had heard, you know, people talk about it, and then I was like, oh, it just kind of ends.
Right.
It, like, it doesn't, like, have... I feel like if they had stopped earlier, it would have an ending. But they don't. They go on for, like, 10 minutes more. It's, like, not a bad 10 minutes, but it's just, like... All right, like, we're getting ready for the... Oh, it's over. It's done.
It's very, like, Back to the Future Part 2 or The Matrix Part 2 or...
But, like... Yeah, but, like, the... Matrix, like, Part... Or, like, Back to the Future Part 2 has, like, a great ending.
Yeah.
Like, I... Like, it's like, okay, I now know, like, 100% where, like, this next movie's going, and, like, I can see why that's a full movie.
Right. Right.
When, like, the situation they were in, it felt like it was almost wrapping up.
It feels like there's one more act to it, and, like, yeah, where... I don't know if you need to blow this out into a full film. It just seems like you needed another 20 minutes on this already kind of too long movie.
Yeah. It's... Again, weird to say about a movie that I overall really liked.
Yeah.
Has a lot of very good emotional beats, has a lot of just amazing design.
All the, like, art stuff, especially for, like, Gwen's universe, is pretty jaw-dropping.
Yes. But... and, like, the, you know, the treatment on Spider-Punk, on Hobie.
Yeah.
Treatment on the I was trying to remember the act, like the South Asian, like, New York City.
Oh,
they go, yeah, to, like, the first, like, totally new world that they go to.
I think it's like Mumbai Hatton or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, whole area looks really amazing.
Yeah.
And once, like, the second one comes out and, like, I get, like, the full kind of arc,
right,
of what they're doing, I'll feel, like, probably better about it.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
It's just right now, it was like, it does have that kind of weirdness to it.
Definitely.
But, yeah, that's about it. Molly.
Hello. I got a COVID shot last week. They gave me the juice, finally.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I found someone to give me the juice. It didn't go great, because that's just how I always react to these shots, but I needed to get it done, so it's done right now.
Right.
And naturally, I used my sick weekend to beat everything but the final boss of Dark Souls 3 with a club.
Great.
I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do Nameless King. This fucking club I have doesn't have any range on it. It's annoying to try and hit the stupid dragon he rides in on, like,
yeah,
because you have to hit it in the head, and, like, the depth perception, because you're just standing. Listen, the arena is really fucking cool, but just standing on a bunch of clouds in a, like, stormy sky, right, does not make for a great, like, sensory depth experience.
Yeah, and that's part of what makes it look cool, but yes, yeah.
It's frustrating when you're using a weapon that is approximately 1.5 feet long.
Right.
Versus, like, what I usually play with is, like, a broadsword or something, which has much more range than that. So I can kind of get away with poking at it. Also, right. I wasn't wearing any armor. So if I got hit by the fire breath attack, I would die immediately. Which I did a lot, die immediately. And then I just kind of was like, well, I keep getting farther every time I try it, so, like, I guess I just have to execute. And then, you know, I entered the hyperbolic time chamber for 1.5 hours and then came out on the other side. And now that guy's dead. So,
oh, yeah.
The funniest thing about that, I didn't know you could stagger him in phase two. I had no idea. I don't think I've ever staggered him before. So when I got the first one, I was like, oh, holy shit. Okay. And then he, like, went to do his, it's not a phase three, but it's like a phase transition within phase two, you know?
Uh-huh.
Where he, like, powers up his spear or whatever, and I just walked up to him and just hit him, like, 8 times while he was doing his stupid charging animation.
Uh-huh.
And then when he finished it, he was dead. So that's how you win, is just beat the shit out of him so he can't do anything to you. The other part is, like, he had attacks in phase two where if I got hit by one, I couldn't recover fast enough to not get hit by the second one, which means it auto kills. Because again, I was not wearing any armor.
Right.
So I don't recommend doing this, but it was fun.
Sure.
You have to be a sicko though. And
I have always wanted to, like, sit down and play Dark Souls Punch-Out, by which I mean no armor, fist weapons only.
I mean, that's almost basically what I'm doing. I've done armored fist weapons only before, and it is fucking fun. I've got
a little bit of Dark Souls 2 playing that way, because you can get the Cestuses pretty quick in that one.
Yeah, in 3, you also get access to the, like, demon fists that have fire on them, which is fucking sick. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But you also have the Cestus pretty early in that one, too.
Watching you play this definitely has me, like, itching to play some Souls games, but also, like,
you gotta wait
I don't
until
have any
May.
Fucking time.
You gotta wait until May anyway, that they announce the Elden Ring DLC.
Well, but with that, I'm almost to the point where, like, I'm, like, halfway through a new game plus run on Elden Ring. Do I want to, like, finish that, or, like, go back to my original save, or start a new one?
Oh, I'm just starting a fresh guy when, like,
yeah,
probably, like, 2 weeks before that DLC drops. And then I will not finish the game until I have played the DLC. That's my plan.
That makes sense. Yeah, because I assume it's not post-game content, because they've never done that before.
No, I don't think they've done that. It didn't seem like that's what they were doing. I think it is, like, late-game content because of probably what you have to do to get there.
That's usually how it goes, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, just based on the names they're saying in the trailer, like, that guy doesn't even come up until very late.
Right. I don't want to spoil anybody. That is a recent enough game.
Sure. What were you saying, Ashley?
I was going to say, you got to get to that center cloud.
Right, exactly. They got to get me into that center cloud.
Which, it does not seem like that's where you're going.
God damn it!
Yeah. I hate to tell you. anyway. So I did that. I finished Dark...
I was going to say, my experience watching Molly's, like, watching over Molly's shoulder was, like, walking out somewhere, and as I was walking out, she's like, oh, I'm going to fight this boss that fucking sucks, I can't, I'm, you know, might just give up. And then, like, walking back in, I was like, that was easy, did it.
Yeah.
Never didn't have it.
That's pretty much how I felt every time. I'm like, of course, this is going to be the one that gets me to stop, right? Like, it's going to do too much damage, and I'm not going to have any fun.
Right.
I guess I'll keep going. I thought Pontiff would be it, and then I just got Pontiff, I want to say, in under 10 tries, which is pretty good for me in Pontiff. I'm terrible at Pontiff.
Yeah, that's one of the few bosses that, at least the one time I played Dark Souls 3, I had no trouble with at all, and I felt very smug about it.
Yeah, you should. That's a fucking hard fight.
Yeah, I got him in, like, 2 hits, and, like, or 2 tries, and, like, maybe I just got lucky, or maybe that's just, like, suits how I play. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. You still did
it. Someone that usually gets hung up for way too long on the hard bosses in Dark Souls, I was very like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because like you were having so much trouble with armor
core. Picture of the guy
core.
Like just flipping everybody off from the third place stand on the podium. That was me.
I know a lot of people who do like soul level one runs of these games, and I'm like, that just sounds like a miserable experience. Like,
because yeah, at some point, that's just like an endurance thing. Of,
right,
like,
and like,
do you have the patience to like keep hitting a million times and like hit the dodge button this many times?
And like, no, I don't. I just don't think that's fun.
Yeah, like, you want it to be, like, a long enough fight that you have to prove that you have the timing down. And kind of once you've proven that, the fight should just be over.
Yeah, I like the... I like where I've ended up, which is, like, I'll die in, like, three hits of anything.
Sure.
But, like, if I execute it, I can do the damage to kill the boss like a normal run. It's just that it's like doing a hitless run, kind of, but, like, not really.
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me.
Yeah, I've been having a good time with it. I went into the DLC, and I was like, man, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, the DLC, isn't the Dark Souls 3 DLC, like, the hardest shit they've ever made?
It's up there. I might not finish that. I was doing it, and I was like, I don't know. It is not fun in here right now, so...
Yeah, I have not played it. I've seen people play it, though, and it looks miserable.
I have beaten all of them before.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'm gonna do this. I think my quest is done. I think I might just exit it and then go beat the last boss and then call it a day.
Yeah.
Because I technically still need to do that.
Yeah. I technically still need to do that. I got stuck on him and quit.
Oh damn! It's cool ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dark Souls 3. It's the best one. I say.
I think you'll find
nobody
the true way to let the fire die is to simply walk away from it.
That's true.
It's one of those, the only way is not way to win is not to play.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, that's kind of what the like, secret ending of that game is anyway.
That is pretty much the secret ending of that game, yeah.
So I'm simply ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you're crushing it.
I just watched the new Actually.
Yeah.
And one of their games was, which Miyazaki said this.
Oh, sure.
The Dark Souls Miyazaki or Studio Ghibli Miyazaki.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're like, if it's a quote about, like, death, it's probably, probably Studio Ghibli Miyazaki.
If it's about swamps,
it's
right?
About swamps
that's FromSoft
Miyazaki. Or wanting people to have fun.
I love that quote he had recently about, like, yes, there is a new poison swamp in the Elden Ring DLC, and
yeah.
I feel like I've learned more about myself by making this poison swamp.
I was thinking about why I made so many of them, and I think that comes through, and I'm like, oh.
When Elden Ring came out, he had a quote of like, you know, people pointed out to me, I keep putting poison swamps, I hadn't really thought about it. But
there's
I think
two
they're good.
In Elden Ring.
Yeah. Oh, right, there's the underground one, I forgot.
Yeah, there's two of them. You're crazy for that one, Miyazaki. Otherwise, I beat Dark Void. Excited to podcast about that tomorrow.
I heard you're
this.
Now a Dark Void guy.
Might be a Dark Void guy.
Ooh.
But I'll talk about that on a different podcast. You have to listen to Journal Update for my Dark Void takes.
Yeah. Into the Void.
Yeah. I think that's it. I don't think I did it because I was not feeling good.
that
COVID shot took me the fuck out. But let's talk about Columbo. I want to jump in front of this one. I thought, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You guys can roast me about the hypno thing later. I don't fucking care. I was watching this and I was like, who writes for Columbo? Who hates doctors? Because every time the murderer is a doctor, they do the most heinous shit you have ever seen in your life.
Yeah, that's true.
So I went and looked up who wrote this episode. Who is Peter Fisher.
Okay.
He did not write any of the other doctor episodes. However, he was the writer of Publisher Parish, which is the bomb pervert one.
Okay.
Yeah.
A Friend Indeed. He wrote that one.
Ooh.
Okay, okay.
He wrote An Exercise in Fatality, which was the dog shit one to start this season.
So, wait, oh, so he wrote one of the best ones and one of the worst ones.
Yeah, and then he also wrote Negative Reaction, which was okay. The Dick Van Dyke one.
Yeah, so he's kind of just the season 4 guy.
Yeah, he also did a couple episodes in season 6, 9, and 10. But yeah, he did this one as well. Turns out he was also the guy who joined, he joined up with Richard Levinson and William Link, who are the guys who made Columbo.
Yeah.
And together they made Murder, She Wrote.
Okay, okay.
He wrote 264 episodes of Murder, She Wrote.
I was really hoping you were going to pivot to telling me about, like, the anti-doctor activism group that he started.
Well, that's what I was hoping to find, but it is not what I found, unfortunately.
I thought it was going to go the other way, where it's like, oh, he used to be a doctor.
Right, he is a doctor.
No.
I wonder, like, was that, like, in the 70s, is that, like, when a bunch of stories of, like, killer doctors was coming out?
Maybe. I don't know. I was watching this, and I was like, the fucking Leonard Nimoy Doctor episode, that guy was a fucking monster.
Like, I mean, I get it in the sense that, like, Columbo villains are generally, like, high-class, high-power people, and a doctor in particular has so much power over people. Like,
yeah.
if you're a surgeon, like Leonard Nimoy's character, and you've got literally got somebody's heart open on an operating table, yeah, you have just more potential to do something heinous than if you're an evil photographer, you know?
Right, but what I mean is, he goes and, like, murders that former morphine addict.
Right.
Right? Like, that's, like, that part's the way more heinous part to me.
Yeah.
Like, convincing this lady that, you know, her dad is watching her do a dive off the top of this fucking building and killing herself.
Right.
Like, just the most disgusting shit you could do to a person.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll
so
say,
I was just
I
like,
was pretty into this episode until, like, the very last scene, which I thought was a total dud.
Yep, no, same. I thought this was a great episode until they do their fucking little reveal, and I was like, well, wait. That's what you guys had? You had
one of the worst
it?
Gotchas they've ever, like a shoelace level gotcha.
Yeah, not good. Not good. Which sucks, because the rest of this episode, the murderer they got kind of had a little bit of Harrison Ford swag going on, I felt like.
This episode's kind of weird. It's a little darker than Columbo usually is. It feels a little more serious. Even Columbo is a little less, like, goofy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he doesn't seem, you know, usually he is comically sleepy if he's tired. This time he just sort of seems, like, sick of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
We've had a couple of episodes where it looks like it feels like Columbo's having fun with.
Yeah. The, he's like, not having fun with this one.
Yeah. Like, there's that, like, scene, like, that they have in the intro where he's like, I'm asking you about a murder.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of wild shit.
But we open up on the Black Box Theater Hypnosex Show.
This was, I was like, okay, yeah, here's some background. Emily messaged me on Twitter before I watched this episode, like the day before we watched it, and was like, have you seen the Hypnosis Columbo episode yet? And I was like, I don't think so. I feel like I would have remembered if we had, and then I started it, and I was like, wait a fucking minute. this lady, if, I don't know what's happening here, but she's crazy horny for this.
She is under hypnosis and also, like, being fed, like, drugs to be put even deeper under.
Right.
And the way that this actress has decided to play being hypnotized is, what if I just sounded like I was actively being fucked the entire time?
Right, the whole time. And I'm going to say daddy like 80 times in this opening scene. Like, what
the fuck? She just gets, like,
fuck?
Super breathy and is, like, moaning in between lines.
Yeah, it does not help that, like, what daddy has become.
Right.
No, right, of course. It's even hornier now than it was in the 70s, but it wasn't not horny in the
70s. Yeah, there's no way it wasn't horny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, this episode is, wild.
Yeah. Like, they're in a pitch black room with just, like, lights on them. As her hypnotherapist, our killer, is just, like, watching her and, like, guiding her through these, like, hypnotic visions of her childhood.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's like, and daddy would watch, and, like...
Right, she used to always swim, and she was so jealous of her sister because, oh, Daddy liked her better, but Daddy loved to watch me dive off the high dive.
And he's like, all right, I don't know why you're telling me all this.
Yeah, they're trying to get, like, some childhood trauma deep within her that she can't, like, actually access. Every time he tries to steer her in that direction, she just talks more about her daddy watching her dive.
Right, yes. This is a problem for him because he's writing a book about this case.
Yeah.
And he cannot get the fucking breakthrough he needs to finish the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, this lady, I don't know if she was, like, directed to be fucking crazy horny about it, but, like, the scenes where she's hypnotized, and, like, the one later where she has, like, the post-hypnotic suggestion, she's taking off her clothes, and then she does the tongue thing?
Your tongue starts rolling out of her mouth.
It's not even, like, she's just, like, licking her lips in such a way. I'm like, did they, was this you or was this the director? What was it? It is a bizarre choice either way.
It's so strange.
Ma'am, you're making a TV show for NBC.
Oh, Daddy, watch me.
Yeah, what the, yeah, it's so much.
I was trying to figure out, like, I felt like I knew, like, I'd seen this guy before.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, can't really find, like, an easy place, like, of, like, where I knew him. But he is in Pushing Daisies.
Oh.
Okay.
As Ned's dad in, like, an uncredited role.
Oh, huh.
And is also, weirdly, in the, like, one of the more recent ones is Getting Up, the Contents Under Pressure, the Mark Echo game.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I'm looking to... this is George Hamilton?
Yes.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Handsome man.
Yeah, not a bad looking dude.
Yeah, I think he's, like, still alive and was up until recently still working.
Oh, speaking of guys who died, the Peter Fisher fucking died on my birthday last year.
Bull!
I was like, hey, wait a minute. Looking at his page, like, oh, that's fucked up. George Hamilton was on the Joey spinoff show.
As George Hamilton.
Fascinating.
Anyway.
Yeah. And so, like, he, like, takes her out, and she's like, am I good? And he's like, eh.
And then starts making out with her.
Yeah, then blah, blah, blah.
Because this dude is an unethical psychiatrist.
My favorite kind.
Yeah.
He's making out with everyone.
I was, like, yes, he is making out with everyone. You are right. I was thinking about it for a second. I forgot that he made out with that other lady for no reason.
And it doesn't really come up again.
It, like, a little bit, but yeah, it's weird. I don't, like, the reason that she has to validate his alibi is because they were fucking, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he, yeah, he has this other doctor. When he goes over to that girl's house later, I was shocked it was the same person. Did not look like the same actress, I thought, for whatever reason. Sure, I was like, who the fuck? Wait, what?
Oh, and, like, her, like, outfit is, like, very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in normal lighting now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a very strange moment.
Yeah.
I like the set of, like, their weird, like, practice with all the lines on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the lines on the floor. It's kind of neat.
I've been in hospitals that use that.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's a unique look for Columbo.
Yeah. But yeah, there's, but, like, a lady doctor who's, like, his research assistant or something, and he's like, did you check the tests again? He's like, I already did that. They just didn't give you the results you want. He's like, well, fucking figure it out.
Yeah, find me the results I want then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm not gonna fake them. He's like, no, don't fake them. Just find them.
Just do your job better.
They also have a lot of really old computers that I'm also always into.
I love an old computer.
Yeah, I love to see old computers.
There's, like, this thing has, like, 50 million lights and knobs.
Yeah.
And, like, you turn it, and, like, it prints out a thing that says someone's name.
It's neat.
But, yeah, they go to, like, a beach house.
Yeah. He goes...
changed out of like his suit, and he is the most beige man to ever live.
Oh yeah,
yes.
He's got like a beige turtleneck with a beige jacket over it and a beige trench coat over that.
He's known as the Beige Bandit.
Yeah.
She's got such a low cut top on this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But she's like married to this like older guy, and he's like, "So you're fucking my wife?"
And our murderer is just kind of like, "Yeah." So keep scrolling.
Yeah.
He's like, "Do you want to kill me about it, or like, cause you know?"
And like he like the husband tries to be like, "You're not the first, or the second, or the fifth." To like get him off, like to like. Push him off the her, and he's like, I do not care. I'm also a slut.
Yeah.
Shouts out.
You've forgotten, Carl, that after months of doing hypnotherapy on your wife, I know every crevice of her mind.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Weird thing to say. but yeah, they get into a fight. Like the old man just starts swinging. I'd seen this before, and I had not expected that.
It's really funny. He like hits Mark, who is our murderer here.
Yeah.
And then like his wife tries to interfere, and then he starts beating the shit out of her.
He like just cocks back and slugs her.
And like, but he goes after her more than he does him.
Yeah, totally.
Which yes. I just thought was like wild.
Yeah. And then Mark beats him over the back of the head with, like, a fire poker. And a big part of what I like about this episode is that the murder itself is completely justified self-defense.
Yeah.
He could just walk on this, except he would have to admit that he was fucking a patient, and he can't do that.
Right, you can't do that. Lose your job forever.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like, and, like, what he says is, like, oh, they're just going to believe that... You know, we didn't kill this guy so that we could get together. But
I mean,
yeah,
that's what
like,
he says. But honestly, I think if they told the truth, it's a very believable story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, he found out about us and started attacking us, so we defended ourselves.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. But unfortunately, that is your patient. You cannot be doing shit like that.
Right.
And so he just, like, has to come up with, like, all right, like, so two men came in, and, like, they were robbers, and they, like, you know, killed your husband. And she's like,
Yeah, she is just, like, so, like, just devastated by all of this.
Yeah, credit to her. She is, like, distraught, but she is gonna tell the story later.
Yeah, yeah.
But he, like... starts talking to her and sits down to light a cigarette. And he flicks his lighter like 40 times. It's not working because the flint is almost out and it pops out of his lighter, which we can't see, obviously.
No, we'll
but
find
it's
out later.
Like pivotal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when he picks the thing off the ground, I'm like, what the fuck is that? Am I supposed to know what that is?
Yeah.
And they don't explain it for like another 30 minutes or so.
Which I don't know how much of that is like, no, you're not supposed to know what that is versus, yeah, in the 70s, everyone knows what a worn down flint looks like.
I'm assuming in the 70s, everyone knows what a worn down flint looks like, but
yeah, I have no clue.
I sure don't.
Because even Columbo was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it takes him a bit. But, you know,
like,
Columbo definitely
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a kind of thing where, like, after when he, like, says that it's a piece of worn flint, you're supposed to be like, oh, of course, that's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than, like, us being like, oh, I guess it's a piece of worn down flint.
Right.
Right.
But I think even this guy's good at this scene where he's just like trying to figure out like what the fuck that they need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like him like concocting the story. I think this scene is all well done.
Totally.
No, I really like this episode and I like this killer. I think he's really good at what he is doing here.
Yeah.
The ending is so bad.
Yeah, yeah, the ending's a real shame.
Yeah,
I like that she is, like, curled up in a ball sobbing, and he is, like, Go ahead.
I remember, like, that was the one thing I remembered about this episode is, like, when I saw the guy at the start, I was like, oh, I remember that's how they do it, so.
Yeah.
I wasn't like that, like, oh, that's all you got.
Right, right. Yeah, I like that she's, like, curled up in a ball sobbing over what happened, and he's trying to, like, do enough therapy to her that she gets the alibi down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be, of course you're scared. That's a perfectly normal human reaction to this situation. But anyway, so two guys came in at 5:30.
Right.
But, and also it's like, if yeah, you're scared. You're scared. Of course. That's good. That's good. Because two guys just broke in.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And then he just like takes all her jewelry.
Yeah.
Got to make it look like a robbery. He does the one thing that everyone else fails to do, which is make it look like a robbery.
Yeah. And then he kind of, yeah, like, tears out to get out of there, but there's, like, a blind man walking his dog that he almost hits, and he kind of has to swerve and hit a post before, as he drives away.
Yeah.
And so, well, part of what makes the ending even worse for me, I was, like, getting a drink, and I missed that part, so I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's very quick.
Yeah.
I feel like if they wanted to do something with this ending, you do something with the post, not with the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not about how he has this dent in his car.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Because, like, he hit a stone post.
Right. That would be a way better way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and then, like, you just prove somehow that, like, he got that dent at this specific time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even just, like, oh, like, there's the paint residue on your fender that matches the post, and,
right,
hey, what were you doing at that house?
Right.
Yeah.
Just because you can't put him there at the time that Nadia says, which they already don't believe.
Right. But yeah, anyway. Then he goes right back to work where the assistant he was yelling at is still there, and he puts the moves on her.
There's so many rats in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they later on, he like tries to make a joke like, oh, it's like a zoo in here.
Ah, but the biggest rat of all is the man running the facility.
So true.
So true. But yeah, and yeah, he's like, all right, Mackin? Let's have some Mack tonight.
And she's like, that's better than this, so sure.
Right. Yeah, she's not really that into him, but she's like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I guess.
And then, yeah, Columbo's there, and she's given him the story.
Yeah.
And I really like Columbo in this scene when he starts his investigation.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, so he hears that, like, oh, the, you know, the car pulled away. You know, like, she heard them pull away, but, like, someone, how it started is that someone knocked on the door and said that their car was out.
Right.
Right.
And yet she didn't hear them pull up.
Yeah. And so he's like, he just, like, sits down. He, like, turns on the music because they said they were listening to music. He sits down, and he's just like, could happen, but no.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible.
And then a bunch of cops pull in to, you know, start taking, like, photos and stuff. And he sees, like, the headlights shine through, and he's like, okay.
Not possible.
Yep. And this is also when he finds the piece of flint.
Yes. Yes. He goes to light his,
cigar.
Thing in. Cigar, yeah. And, like, looks down as he's, like, sliding in. He's like, wait a minute. I mean, I think, like, the guy using matches that for that one night and then going back to using a...
Right, is a way better gotcha.
Yes.
But you can't prove it was his lighter, I guess.
Yeah.
If you can't place him at the scene, you know.
Yeah. I think in the background we actually get...
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just, like, some discoloration, but I think we actually get a little bit of blood on the carpet from the guy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, really? We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a blood stain.
How does Columbus see this fucking piece of flint?
I have no idea. He just happens to look down and just, you know.
No, but it's so small. That's what I mean.
I mean, like, it is a different color than the rest of the carpet.
But it's so small.
Yeah, but this is who Columbo is. Listen, yeah, he drives his wife crazy.
Listen, I know.
Listen, the little things bother him.
Yeah, he does hate little things. That's true.
Which is ironic, because he's a little guy.
That's
true.
He bothers himself.
And yet he's scared of being even this tall.
It's true.
He's a man of contrasts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that they go through, and I like when he's like measuring out the tire marks, and the guy's like, "That's my tire mark, sir."
He's like, "I know, dude. I'm checking something."
Yeah.
Do you think Columbo knew?
I think he did.
Yeah, he knows.
There's two sets of tire tracks. One of them is bigger than the other. He just wanted to make sure that because it's a very slight difference.
And in the parts where there was only one set of tire tracks, that's when I was towing you.
Yeah.
You think Lightning McQueen has that like on his wall somewhere?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole section about driving on the beach.
That's true.
When there were only one set of tire prints. Yeah. The joke that you just made.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
No, me neither.
We cut to her, like, kind of, like, their penthouse apartment. This is hers, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Columbo goes there to meet her, saying, yeah, like, that, man, these people are too fucking rich.
Right. Yeah, he goes and he's a little surprised that the doctor is there with her.
Yes.
Yes, because he shows up at the end of this first scene where they're at the place.
Yeah.
And he's using the matches to light his cigarettes.
Yeah.
Love her, like, fluffy gown that she's just, you know, traipsing around the house in.
She has a lot of these. Yeah, she's got a lot going on fashion-wise.
Yeah.
She's got some looks. As Columbo starts questioning, he, like, basically, like, Mark goes to, like, another chair where Columbo can't see him just to be, like, just kind of stewing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, looking, like, making sure, like, please don't fuck this up.
Yeah, gotta make sure she's got her story straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Columbo's taking coffee black now because he's trying to lose some weight.
Well, he's been trying to lose some weight all season.
That's true.
That it's continuity. Columbo has some holes in her story, and she figures out ways for it to work. But that's enough for Columbo to be like, I don't think so.
I feel like there is exactly one angle that occasionally you catch this actress from that makes her look like Sigourney Weaver. And then she, like, turns her head and it's gone.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That's my thing with this guy and fucking Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this is the TV versions of Sigourney Weaver and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So if only we got a Columbo episode with Sigourney Weaver and Harrison Ford.
Man.
Like, this was before either of them blew up. It would have been, like, hypothetically possible.
Yeah. We will get an episode with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Hell yeah.
And one of her first on-screen roles.
Yeah, I was going to say, how young was she?
Yeah, like, she is playing, like, a waitress.
I guess this is right as Harrison Ford is blowing up. Like, this is around when the first Star Wars is coming out.
Yeah.
I thought that was a few years later.
That's 77. When is this?
This is 75. Yeah, I guess it's not that far away. But
yeah.
But yeah, I feel like Harrison Ford was already like kind of from like a lot of stage stuff was already like, this guy might be someone.
Sure.
Sure. Where were we?
Oh yeah, Columbo leaves and is like, oh, where's my my notebook? I can't write anything without my notebook. and then he's like, it's in your belt, Columbo. I'm very perceptive.
Well, would you look at that?
Hey. And then, like, as soon as Columbo leaves, she, like, bolts over to him. He's like, oh, I'm so scared. We have to tell. And he's like, no, we super can't.
The weird thing about this scene, I thought, was when, like, he asks her if they were wearing gloves or not. And she says, right. I don't remember. And then she goes, no, they used a handkerchief to wipe away their handprint or their fingerprints afterwards. I'm like, why would you not just say that they were wearing gloves?
Or just say, I don't remember, and let Columbo be like, well, I guess they must have been.
Yeah. Because, yeah, right. But, yeah, it's just over-explained. It's just like, that's a weird weird thing to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's under a lot of pressure. I get it.
Right.
She's lying.
She's lying. It's hard to lie.
I was going to make a joke, but I am both awful and too good at lying.
Okay.
So yeah, personally, I find it easy to lie.
Well, like, I am bad at, like, doing, like, lying games and, like, lying to, like, friends.
Sure.
But, like, there will be times, like, in, like, conversation, and, like, these are more, like, where I'll be like, oh, yeah, like, I know that thing.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah, I lie all the time.
Oh, lie to my friends, lie to my family, lie to myself.
Constantly. I'll lie to anybody.
I'm a living lie.
I don't know about all that.
Well, Molly, I was living a lie for a very long time.
That was a lie.
So.
Damn it. Fuck.
I gotcha.
Oh, he's too good.
Fuck.
All right. Yeah, it's a weird thing. He's at the thing and they're showing, you know, his publisher around. He's like, oh, where's the book? And he's like, hey, shut the fuck up. But he, Mark looks outside and sees Columbo looking at his car.
Yeah.
Yeah, Columbo's checking his tires.
Apparently early enough that people are still like, a mouse in a maze? What kind of mad science are you doing here?
Yeah.
You ever notice that this place is exclusively staffed by blondes?
I mean,
just exclusively staffed by blonde women.
Given what a fucking creep the owner is.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're trying to say something by the rats of the maze having a bunch of colored lines telling you where to go and then the...
I mean, yes, that is what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're working on all levels of human manipulation, you know? So
yeah.
It's just that, like, there's that one, like, comic where it's like, it's a study of behavioral scientists who are studying behavioral scientists who are studying behavioral scientists.
Right.
Yeah, Columbo ends up talking to Mark and it's like, oh, I don't think that you did this. I just think that, you know, I got an import car, so...
I like that the receptionist tells Columbo, oh yeah, if you just follow the blue line, you'll find Mark. And he, like, does for a little bit, then gets bored, I guess.
Yeah, and he just decides to start talking to people.
Just starts poking his head into random doors.
The woman, like, he pokes his head into a door. A woman, like, screams the loudest I've ever heard. And he goes, oh, yeah, sorry. And then just closes the door. Columbo, what are you doing, man?
Investigating.
He's investigating the wrong place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, Dr. Borden, the lady doctor that dude was making out with, is here.
Yeah.
And she is giving the alibi that, you know, he was here that whole time. They got the call in the cafeteria at 8.
So you were here working. I get it. Well, not exactly working, but we were here, yeah.
Yeah.
See, yeah, Lieutenant, this is what you might call a fuck hospital.
Well, it's not even a hospital. It's just like a weird behavior lab.
Only the hoardiest psychiatry is practiced here, Lieutenant.
That's a fact.
This is basically just Dark Place to me. but yeah, like Mark, like Columbo mentions, like, oh yeah, I was checking the tires of your car, and he's like, oh, like, do you check tires? Like, oh yeah, it's the same thing. And Mark is like, well, there are like dozens of cars that have that, you know, tires.
Many European imports.
Did we skip over the part where Columbo explains, yeah, my car's got tires like that because it's a French.
It's a French car.
Yeah, that it's right here. I think I remember because, yeah, like I looked up like why people weren't doing like recreations of Columbo's car like they do the Jurassic Park Jeep or something, or the DeLorean or something like that. And apparently there were like 500 of these ever made.
Okay, I think also part of it might be that the DeLorean looks cool and Columbo's car's a beat-up piece of shit.
Yeah, but people are, like, those are, like, the most popular ones, but people will make recreations of famous cars of anything.
I understand, but, you know, when the entire gimmick is that it's a bad car that looks ugly.
Yeah.
That only shows up to be mocked.
He says it's French the first time to the other police officer who does not believe him.
Right. It's a European car? Yeah, it's French.
It's an import. And he's like, real piece of shit import, Columbo.
Well, then there's the episode where the Etude in Black, where he breaks into the guy's, like, European car mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just like, there are some things even I can't do.
Right. I did go and look up the car afterward.
Yeah.
And yes, it is a French car. He was not lying.
Yeah, I also have heard that they did not like this.
Y'all bet.
Oh, yeah, weird.
Yeah. They did not like one of their cars being used as the example of pure shittiness.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Columbo says that he thinks that she's lying, but she doesn't know why. And, like, he thinks that someone else was there.
Right.
Yeah, he walks through the whole thing of how it doesn't make sense that they didn't see the car coming in, and he's like, oh, like, what about, like, what, they just turned off the headlights? And he's like, oh, I didn't think of that, but you'd probably still hear it.
I feel like Columbo walked into this scene not really suspecting this guy, just here to bounce ideas off him, and now he's like, boy, you're sure coming up with a lot of theories and explanations for why the story makes sense.
Yeah, you sure are backing her up really hard.
Also, you just have worst vibes.
Right. Also, I read your book about how you can control people through hypnosis.
And how you're kind of a weirdo about it.
Yeah, this is things about the same about hypnosis that the other one thought about, like, subliminal advertising.
Right, it totally, but, like, the hypnosis just works in this
setting. Yeah, it just
setting.
Works, 100%.
Yeah.
And it is, like, not even, like, a, like, oh, it's, you know, like, a form of, like, meditation to, like, get you into, like,
right.
Like a more calm mindset. This is just, I can say a word and you'll do something.
I can Manchurian candidate you into committing suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, yeah, just have her take a lie detector test. That will 100% work and I'll vouch for it. And then so he's like, gotta kill her.
Yeah, gotta get her killed.
I love that it's not even that he's like, doing the, like, I'm so in love with this lady.
Right.
That, like, I have to, you know, murder for her. It's like, as soon as, like, she's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, she's got to go.
All he cares about is getting found out from, you know, having the affair with her.
Yes.
Betty's like, man, if I make her kill herself, great chapter in my new book.
Yeah.
The perfect
murder where it looks like a suicide. And in a locked room that I was nowhere near.
I feel like it's not that hard to simply not sleep with your patients if you're trying to get a book published.
Yeah, really, I don't know.
You considered that he is scummy?
No, sure.
But the thrill, Luke.
I understand.
I feel like I could like just touch this man and oil would like seep through.
Yeah.
There's a great shot of him like when she agrees to be hypnotized, it like zooms in, he just smiles real creepy.
Yeah, she agrees to let him hypnotize her so that she believes the alibi and doesn't think she's lying so that she can trick the lie detector test.
Yes.
Yeah, and like, yeah, cut from him like creepily smiling to him loading up her on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, as he is, you know, doing the hypnosis that will eventually get her killed, there is a fireplace that like is enshrouding his head in flames. Do you get it?
Yeah. He's like, you will, you know, stay home, whatever. You lock the door, and at this time, you'll get a phone call from me, and I'll say a name. And when you hear that, you'll suddenly become overwhelmingly hot and obsessed with the need to go swimming. And you'll think about how your dad used to watch you dive off the high dive, and you'll dive off of your balcony into the pool.
He's like, oh, yeah. Let me use the trauma she told me about earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah, you're basically the most evil man.
The most evil thing you could do. It's just... I mean, this is the moment where I was like, who on Columbo hates doctors?
And at this time, he's also hiding, like, putting away all of the stolen things into her apartment.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he, like, the idea is that, like, oh, she hired those guys to...
Or she just killed him outright and made up the story about the guys, one way or the other.
Yeah. But like, at one point he does say to Columbo, like, maybe she hired the guys.
Right.
And then
his story is going to be that she kills herself out of guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This scene where Columbo shows up at his party is fucking crazy. Columbo, you're just out here talking about the fucking details of this case to a bunch of people who are just like rich doctors in this guy's mansion.
All these rich fuckers that just think this is like a fun parlor game. They're going to solve the murder for him.
Right. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Columbo looks like he has knocked on this door to like ask for a handout. He's like lit in like a blue light and he's just like, hello there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he just straight up says the entire thing and everyone's like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
But he makes some like allusions that he thinks it's Mark that did it.
Yes.
Yes.
So doesn't that not say it, but you know, you can infer.
Yeah. And like Mark knows it. The guys at the party are like, oh, that's so funny.
Right.
But Mark is like, oh, fuck, he's on to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark's like, oh, Columbo thinks everyone is a suspect.
Right. And he's like, actually, I just think it's you.
And then, like, Columbo just fucking dead-eye stares him as he makes the call.
Right. Yeah. Evil man. Insanely evil man.
And also, they ask him, like, what's the most, like, the coolest investigation you've ever done? He's like, well, I always think the coolest one is the most recent. It's the one you're working on.
The most interesting one is the one I'm currently working on.
And, yeah, they're all like, but that one that you're working on right now, we already know. It's a solved case.
He's like, well, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much.
Also, I'm pretty sure Columbo says he doesn't want a drink, and then he gives him a drink anyway.
Yes.
He asks for, like, a non-alcoholic drink.
He gets a cream soda, actually.
Oh, right! Right.
He's a cream soda man. Forgot.
Yeah, that makes sense. and then, yeah, so he calls and she... Her acting like she is burning up is also extremely horny.
That's what I'm saying. She's just like caressing her body as she undresses.
Yeah. And then she takes the highest dive.
Yep.
I was like, for a period of time, I was like following a like Olympic diver on like TikTok.
Yeah.
Just because like it was like around the time of the Olympics, and there's just like a lot of interesting like, oh, it's like interesting to hear all these stories from like Olympic level athletes who are just on this like social media site.
Yeah.
But she was like talking about like, there's only so many high dives you could do like. Before it like starts like really hurting your body.
Oh sure, yeah,
for sure.
Like that makes sense. Like the highest dives.
It's a long way to fall into a very hard surface.
Yeah.
Yes.
That shit hurt.
And then also watching this, I remembered when they did a reality TV show of celebrities doing the high dive, and they had to stop because so many people got hurt.
it's a long sequence of her undressing, too.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
And she's just licking her lips and biting her lips.
And she's like, I'm gonna jump off.
Running her hands through Daddy. Her hair.
Yeah, shit, this is too much.
And so, yeah, she dies and Columbo shows up and they're like, yeah, she was in a locked room. No one was, she couldn't be pushed. She had to have jumped. The railing's too high for her just to have, like, kind of casually fall.
Yeah.
Because, like, she jumps, like, from, like, the table that she has out there.
Yeah.
But Columbo goes there, and the thing that gets him is she folded up all of her clothes and put all of her valuables in the...
Like, in her scarf, in her shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, why like, would you bother doing that if you were committing suicide?
Yes.
Yeah. Also, she had the phone off the hook.
Yeah.
So, and it was like, the dial tone was going. So, did she just decide to commit suicide halfway through a conversation?
Right.
Do you just... Are phone records not available? Like...
He's gotten them before.
I feel like you just line this up.
Yeah, that's true.
It just feels like they do the stupidest gotcha in history when, like, it seems like there's many ways to just catch this man.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
They have absolutely used phone records on Columbo before.
Like, what are we doing?
You don't even need to, like, have it, oh, you called her directly.
Yeah.
Like there could just be a funness of, like, I'm, like, the eyewitness, because I saw the call right at the time.
Right.
I saw you make the call, like, right at the time where she got the call.
And, like, if we're supposed to believe, for this episode, that hypnosis is real like this.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
You have a whole set of people who are involved in this case already who can testify as such.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Borden's about to give his ass up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I really just feel like this writer got, like, too clever for his own good.
Yeah. I think, really good episode, and then he either had this idea beforehand, and, like, all of the stuff leading up to it didn't make sense anymore, or he didn't know what to do for the gotcha and was like, I don't know, throw a blind guy in the end.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bookend blind guys.
Yeah. What a weird.
Yeah, because like you're also like kind of meant to forget about him.
Yeah.
Because he's only on screen for a few seconds. So like when he comes out, you're like, oh, that could have been him. Like, because this is a very, I don't think these guys are identical twins. I think they're very similar looking.
Yeah, they look so, they're definitely not identical.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But like they look close enough. They're wearing the same clothes. They have like the same mustache and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, you could tell they're related at the very least. But this guy claims that the guy who he's seeing is blind, but his brother is actually the blind one. And that...
Right.
I guess I'm getting ahead of us here, but it's just... It's so cute, and it doesn't mean anything.
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
But yeah, Columbo goes back to the Research Institute in the morning. He hasn't slept all night, and he starts grilling Dr. Borden about whether you could hypnotize someone into killing themselves. And she's like, no, that's stupid. You can't make someone do something they wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, like, she pulls it in, and, like, it pans over, and Columbo's just there in his car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, he looks absolutely just destroyed.
Yes.
But I just also love, like, he is, like, just on this now. He is...
Yeah.
Yeah, he is not letting this go. You know, this is the Columbo when the second person dies.
Right, yeah, that's when he really gets serious. But yeah, basically, because he convinced her that she was just going swimming, that's how he was able to make her do it. If he had said, hey, go jump out the window, it wouldn't have worked.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, this is like when Columbo gets, more serious. He's like, I'm asking you about a murder.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad that is where the scene ends, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see more of this scene specifically.
Because he's asking her for more information about, like, the second victim's, like, hypnotherapy. And she's like, I can't tell you that. And he's like, you can on account of it's a murder case.
Right, of course, because it's a murder case. And then also, like, they play it this way. So I'm like, oh, okay, so of course this information is going to come up later. And it doesn't.
That's true. Yeah, they cut away. Yeah. And, like,
it makes me feel
him...
like, oh, she's going to give him the gotcha here.
Yeah, that'd be way better.
Be way better, but no.
Yeah. Then we get, like, a in between, like, that, and then the final scene we've kind of started talking about, but, you know, haven't fully. There's a scene of Mark talking with, like, some yacht guy.
Yeah.
And Columbo
shows
up. It's
the guy that he pretended to call when he was hypnotizing her the night before.
Yeah, it's the publisher, yeah.
Yeah.
But mainly it's just Columbo being like, I know you're a fucking murderer.
Yeah. He's like, but you don't have any proof, do you? No, but I'll let you know when I do.
You'll be the first to know.
And then the murderer walks away and the other cop walks up. Hey, Columbo, we found proof.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He's like, we have a witness. The problem, he's blind.
Yeah, I do love that Columbo is shaving the scene.
It is really funny that he does start off the scene by shaving his face.
Yeah.
He just has a little electric razor. I assume he keeps this in his car for nights like these where he can't fucking sleep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the scene of where they're talking to each other and, like, Columbo is down on the dock and he's, like, up above.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, up on the pier.
Yeah. It, you know, is pretty simple, like, framing, but it's good.
Right.
Yeah. And, yeah, I feel like the lure of we've got an eyewitness and he's blind is just too...
Yeah.
Right, this is sweet. Like, he knows how cute they're being right now, and, like, I can see it, and it's not that good, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, too, I missed the introduction of this guy, so I was like, what the fuck are you... This is not how you do a gotcha on Columbo!
Yeah.
And finding out that he was seated earlier didn't help that much.
No.
No, yeah, it's...
Because it's just not that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what it is he invites him back to the place, and... You know, he lays out all of, like, the circumstantial evidence, you know, the flint, the hypnotism, all of this, and finally he brings out, like, oh, here's my eyewitness, and it's the guy in dark glasses. You know, it's, we already said that it's his brother, but they look very similar.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Columbo, I know that man is blind because I'm a doctor and I can tell.
Right, they're doing a lot to, like... make it seem like he's not blind, like, having, like, only visually gesturing for him to come forward, and, like, asking him a lot of things that, like, you would assume you would need to be able to see to do, and this guy's like, ah, you're putting on a show. I know this is a blind guy. Because, you know, I can just tell. Look at him. And then his blind brother, who's the real witness, comes out, and it's, now why would you assume this guy's blind unless you saw the real blind guy on the day of the murder? That's pretty funky.
He just told you that he was acting like a blind man. because he was acting like a blind man.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, we're supposed to think that this is the blind guy.
Right.
Here's the other thing that sucks about this reveal. All of the, like, meticulous case building with, like, of learning more about the hypnosis and finding the flint and, like, where could it come from and all that.
And, like,
it doesn't matter. None of it matters.
It doesn't matter. And all, like, the unethical, like, the drug stuff and, like, how there have been a bunch of it missing from his practice and, like...
Like, frankly, Columbo doesn't solve this murder. This unnamed other cop solves this murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the only evidence that matters is the blind guy.
Yeah, Columbo just sets it up so that he, like, reveals information.
Yeah.
It is all of the stuff that was happening beforehand of, like, the scenes I was talking about of Columbo investigating and, like, going through his process.
Yeah.
That make it that it, like, doesn't matter at the end, like, hurt more.
Totally. Yeah, again, I was really glocked into this episode until this last scene, and then it just fell apart.
This reveal is just the whack version of the Dick Van Dyke episode the same guy fucking wrote.
Yep. You know what? That's true.
It's the same fucking thing, but a million times worse.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had an epiphany.
Yeah.
Also, this gotcha scene is way too long.
Yep.
Yep. The guy, like, could have said, like, oh, like, you're trying to frame me. Like, he could have gone, like, the whole way with it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, if this is how you arrest this guy, he is getting off scot-free.
Yep.
Oh, I think that the house that they are at, like, that they filmed the, like, outside of, you know, this beach house at, is the same place that they filmed the outside at for Beyond the Valley of the Dolls and Ashley, like...
Oh, sure.
Oh, Ashley Classic.
An Ashley Classic.
One of the stories you'll be telling everybody in the post-apocalyptic rubble.
Yeah.
Wait, I think we talked about that before we started
recording.
Yeah, that
was pre-show.
Yeah. You can put it together. It's like Fahrenheit 451.
Also, they have this guy lie. Just sidebar. Yeah. They have this guy lie.
Yeah.
About who he is. So it's,
right.
It's just all bad. All bad.
I mean, cops are allowed to lie, you know.
Yeah, but, like, you know, Columbo's not supposed to.
No, sure.
Except if it's him lying about his wife or, like, his cousin who...
Yeah, he's only allowed to do it when it's funny.
Right.
And this is not funny.
Yeah, when they bring him out, it's, like, it's a long scene, but, like, when they bring him out, it's, like, so obviously supposed to be, like, the got him.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, like I said, I already knew the ending of this going into it. Like, that was the one thing I remembered.
Right.
Of this ep. So I was, like, more just enjoying the journey of it.
Sure.
Yeah, kind of a waste of a good performance.
Yeah. And yeah, like, I feel like this is a type of villain on Columbo we haven't gotten in a bit, where it's like, this guy knows that Columbo knows and is just, like, gleeful about, like, yeah, but no proof, so fuck off.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh well.
Yeah, is what it is.
Rip.
Do you guys want questions?
Sure.
Yeah.
From @ScarChomp, can you define the point where horny jumps to too horny?
It's all contextual.
Yeah, it's like art. I know it when I see it.
Right. You know.
I don't have a good answer for this. Generally, things don't often get too horny.
Right. If anything, these days, they ain't horny enough.
Yeah. I'm always saying this.
I think especially when the horniness is unexpected.
Yeah.
A little horny, like, jump scare.
Yeah. It's like, oh. Like, yeah, like, this episode opening with her, like, doing her bedroom voice during Hypno is like, oh, shit,
right,
okay.
Like, oh,
I guess,
shit, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're doing this.
It also depends a lot on what the creator is horny about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you horny for? That's going to have a big influence on my opinion.
From @CharizandBlunt, is hypnosis real? No.
Not really?
Like, I think there is like a like that like kind of like meditation stuff and like, you know, totally. Guided
yes
stuff that people have called hypnosis that like can kind of like, you know, put you into something of a trance.
Yeah.
But like hypnosis as portrayed in like popular culture,
they like they can't make you get up on stage and squawk like a chicken unless you want to go squawk like a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it is giving you like it that like whole stuff is a like they're giving you a pretense to do something yes. funny and weird and like make people like clap
right,
for
it's
you.
Like, you know, a lot of times they will like prime you by being like, well, you know, only really like open-minded creative people are susceptible to hypnosis. So like, oh, actually it's sort of like insulting to you if you don't fall for it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a lot of it is like being able to work a person.
Yeah.
In a way that is like a skill.
Right.
But yeah, it is not some like magic mind power.
No.
It's as real as you want it to be.
Sure.
Yeah. If you believe from at Lady K Hirsch, would Columbo smoke weed?
No. I think he's done it like once and didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he is like a very chill dude, but I think he would not get along with weed.
God, they wouldn't do this just because of when this was made, but imagine if Columbo was like investigating at a college or something. I was like, oh, hey, can I bum a smoke? And they give him weed without him realizing it, and he only finds out after he started smoking.
He's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, this is a really, wow, the flavor on this clove is intense.
He just, and then it cuts to him, like, eating brownies in the quad.
Right.
It's just the scene from Transformers 2.
Yeah.
From at M of Healy, which weirdly horny Totally Spies villain would make a good one-off Columbo villain?
Oh, interesting.
I don't remember a lot of Totally Spies villains.
My brain immediately gave me Floatin' Guy.
That was the exact same guy I thought of, though, when I saw this question.
There's that one. There's Kyle Katz. There's the one that makes people into cat ladies.
No, that's not who I'm talking about.
Who are you talking about?
Kyle Katz, mom fucker.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, the I mean, he had fit the most like easily into Columbo. Yeah.
Tim Scam.
He is just a Columbo villain.
Tim Scam is the Robert Culp of Totally Spies.
That's so true.
It's so true. Remember how the first episode was that he had his reverse name and it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Max Smith.
It's just not how mirrors work.
It really is. It's not how letters work. It's not how.
Listen, there's a lot of questionable mirrors in Totally Spies.
Yes.
This is true. Yeah, they love mirrors on that show.
I was actually thinking about this question, and I was like waiting to see if someone had asked it, but no one did. Have you guys ever done a high dive?
No.
I don't like heights.
Yeah.
I like jumped off a diving board, but like I can't mentally make myself like go head first into the water. Like I know you put your hands ahead of you, but like I just like instinctively like just curl up and like go more for like a cannonball.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would hoit.
I have done like not like, you know, a high dive, but like a sizable one once. There was like a pool that had like a deep enough bottom in a high dive spot.
Sure.
And it was like kind of one of those things where it's like, we dare you to go up there. And like, right. Well.
So how was it?
It hurt. I didn't like it. I only did it once.
I feel like what, like the really high ones, I would be so terrified of like, physically it couldn't happen. But like from your perspective, it looks like it'd be easy to miss the pool.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would be way too freaked out about that possibility.
Yeah, I definitely like had like a little bit of a freak out, but like also it's the thing where it's like, well, it's way easier for like to get down by jumping than it is to
sure
to climb back down the ladder.
Yeah, and like the ladder is like all wet and stuff, so it's like, oh, like I'd
you
slip.
You don't want to get down that way.
Yeah.
But that's it for questions.
All right,
Luke, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at SSJ Speed Racer. You can find other shows that I do on audioentropy.com, such as Idle on Playtest, It's an award-winning actual play RPG podcast. I GM two different campaigns, Idle on Disco and Idle on Ska. Stuff's going crazy over there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. All right, Ashley, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at @YuriLeBarathon_ on Twitter and Letterboxd. I was starting to come back to Tumblr, but apparently they're going full AI, so...
Yeah, oh, they really? Sure are. Yeah.
Ugh.
They're going to start, like, you have to, like, opt out of a thing to make it so that it doesn't, use your blog to AI train.
I believe I read that they already started it.
Yeah. Great.
The only, like, silver lining to that shit for me is that every time I've, like, heard anybody that actually knows how computers work talk about AI, it's like, oh, this is extremely not scalable, and if they, like, start getting bigger, they're just gonna collapse from, like, not having enough money to run this.
Yeah, and, like, the electricity costs are also fucking crazy.
Like, it takes, like, a billion, like, top-level, like, industry-grade graphics cards to run, like, one session.
Yeah, like, all the video stuff, like, that is, like, just untenable.
Yeah, like, no, this is not a sustainable business model.
Well, yeah, like, and then there's all the stuff where they're like, listen, if you make it illegal for us to steal, if you, like, say, like, wait a minute, you're stealing, that's illegal, then we can't do the thing we're doing.
Right,
so
right,
please
right.
make it legal for us specifically to steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the cost stuff is just the thing where I'm like, well, that almost seems like it can't help but fall apart if it gets, like, reaches a certain threshold. So that's somewhat comforting, because no one's stopping it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's, I mean, you don't need us to be like, it's dumb, but
it's
dumb.
Super fucking dumb.
Yeah, and every argument I've seen of it for it is dumb.
Yeah. Everyone's always like, oh my god, look at how good it is. Like, I guess, but I can always, like, spot it immediately. Like, if you know what you're looking for, it doesn't trick you.
Yeah.
And then, like, people will be like, oh, this thing that you like to use, like, you know, AI, like, we were talking about, or, like, across Enter the Spider-Verse, like, used, like, an AI training tool so that it would make it easier for them to, like, do their thing. Like, where it's, like, putting cartoon lines on
that's
stuff.
That's not the same kind of AI, though.
And, yeah, like, that's not the same kind of fucking AI.
Right.
Idiots.
Yeah, like, automating fucking, like, cloth deformation on, like, a CGI thing is not the same as typing in, make me good movie, please, and then it makes good movie.
Yeah, like, movie...
Sorry. When you type in, make me good movie, please, and it makes shitty movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where you'd say, make me a movie starring Mr. Beast. And then it's like, just like...
The worst thing about it is sometimes I will see someone, like, posting art where, like, they're not the... Like, they're still an artist that's learning, and the, you know, maybe didn't do a great job on the fingers, and that's when I'm like, oh, fuck, that's just AI, isn't it? No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah. Like, I've seen, like, a lot of, like, people have posted, like, video clips. I'm like, that's just super compressed. That's not...
Right.
All right, anyway.
Anyway.
You don't need us to talk about this.
Sure.
But, yeah. You also find me at patreon.com/AshleyLeeMinor.
Give Ashley fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
You can find me on Twitter, co-host, at your friend Molly with a Y-E-R. You can find me at audioentropy.com, ineedmail.com, thesecondbestgame.club. When you hear this, the Dark Void episode should be out, so you can listen to us talk about that weird, busted Xbox 360 game. Also, go to audioentropy.com, hit the donate button in the upper right-hand corner of the website. Give us a little money for hosting for the website. Appreciate that if you could. Also, you know, review us places and tell people that our show is good. And, you know, you can watch Columbo with us. It's pretty fun most of the time.
Yeah.
That's it. Ashley, get us out of here.
Until next time, one more thing.
What's that?
Yeah?
You're getting very sleepy.
What?
I'm very sleepy. Oh. I've been working all day.
Okay.
It's not true. Today was your day off.
Thought we were doing like a bit where you were going to hypnotize us, but then...
Yeah, that was the joke.
I'm not doing this. In what world do I participate in this?
The joke was that it sounded like I was doing a hypnosis thing, but no, it's just Columbo sleepy.
Oh, you wouldn't do it hornfully.
Again, on what plan?
Oh, God.